You are now listening to episode 35 of I'm an Adult, Now What? Hosted by Jade Pattenden. The content production studio Self-Hired and CBC created a documentary that is about the culture and reality of tree planting in British Columbia. I interviewed the director, Everett Bumstead, via Zoom to talk about the film. The documentary will be released on CBC Gem on November 6th and CBC Television on November 7th at 8 p.m. in BC and Alberta. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to this episode. Thanks for joining me, Everett.
Thanks for having me, Jade.
Yeah, so you're here today to talk about your film 1 Million Trees that you created for Self-Hired and CBC.
Exactly, yeah. Coming out November 6th and November 7th on CBC.
Right. Can you explain what your documentary is about?
Yes, definitely. So the documentary kind of, it was filmed over 12 months of traveling in kind of remote regions of BC. And it's about kind of the experience that a tree planter goes through in Canada, working in the forestry industry. Just everything they deal with, from learning how to plant their first tree to documenting the journeys of some veterans who have been doing it for decades, you know.
Right. And so you are a tree planter yourself, right? You've done it before?
I've done it before. Yeah, I did 3 seasons. So I planted maybe around 450,000 trees.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think to anybody else, it seems crazy. But tree planters would just maybe scoff at that number. There's, as you know, there's a lot bigger numbers in the film. So.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, some people were saying they've planted like 1 million trees just themselves. And I was like, wow, what the heck?
But, it's kind of unfathomable, really.
Yeah, no, it really is. And especially like how long it takes for them to grow, which a lot of people talk about, like how you might not get to see it like be a full tree because it takes like 100 years, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, somebody put it really well. They said it's a renewable resource, but it takes longer than a human life to renew. So that makes it kind of tricky.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And also just hearing about like how it's for commercial like purposes too, like planting the trees.
Exactly. Yeah. In Canada, the way our forestry industry operates is that when you log, it's mandated that you must replant a certain percentage of that.
And right.
So that's why this whole industry exists. It's kind of a byproduct of logging, really.
Right. And so you spent a year doing this documentary, but you've done many like film projects before, like you're a filmmaker.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been working with Self-Hired for about 2 years now, doing all kinds of like music videos and commercials, stuff like that. I've had a few like indie documentary projects, but this is the first one where we had a distribution network on board from the beginning. So it's definitely a big thing for me and the rest of the team for sure.
Yeah, well, congratulations on it, first of all. And also I was very impressed with like the whole film, like the way it was shot, the interviews, the way it was like intertwined with like the voiceover of Claire, who I actually know.
So do you know Claire?
I actually did like a photo shoot with her once, because she also does modeling as well. So that was a little while ago, but yeah, she's a great person. It was like such a nice surprise to see her in this.
Did you have any idea that Claire was a tree planter?
I think she mentioned it, but honestly, I couldn't really comprehend like the lifestyle of what that meant. Like, you know, I pictured her going into like somewhere more local and like planting a tree and like maybe planting like 5 trees, but like to see this and to see like the lifestyle and like how fast people plant and like the whole outfits, like people taping their legs so that they don't get their feet wet, I guess, like, yeah. All those things, I was like, oh wow, I didn't realize how like intense it is, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah, that's so true. And yeah, like Claire and myself too. Yeah, you really live in it. You know, you're sleeping outdoors in a tent, and you're often duct taping your boots to keep the laces from getting caught on twigs or stuff like that.
Oh, okay. That's what that's for, too.
Yeah. I mean, people probably have all kinds of reasons to do it, maybe to tuck their pant legs in and stuff like that.
Right.
It's very competitive. So it's kind of like how competitive swimmers will shave their whole bodies because of the hair might cut down on the percentage of a time. Tree planters think that way as well. They, you know, I could do 100 more trees if I duct tape my hands.
Right. Oh, that's hilarious. So when you were doing this documentary, were you planting trees or were you just fully focused on creating this film?
I was fully focused on creating this. Yeah. Well, I guess though, a lot of the footage that you see was taken, the first shots were filmed like 2015, 2016, and that was when I was planting. So there are a couple shots in there that where no one will recognize me, where I've got like my hair shaved into a mohawk, and that's from Alberta in 2015.
Oh, cool. Nice. So with that like process of creating this film, like what did you learn? Like, did you learn anything new that you hadn't learned just fully from planting trees and like turning it into, like, you become like a filmmaker, right? In that environment, did you learn like new things? Because I noticed like in the interviews, there was a lot of people talking about their experience of just like spending time alone and, you know, that opening up like traumas and just feeling like you need to cry in this environment, but like also having kind of like the privacy to do so. Were you aware of like those experiences when you were tree planting, or did you learn like more about the lifestyle by interviewing people?
I'd say definitely yes to both questions. My experience planting was that, yeah, dealing with all that time alone and all that quiet and so much space it was quite a challenge. And there are times, you know, when you want to just break down and cry, and maybe it's not even because you're having a bad day, but you just think of some breakup from 2 years ago or something. And it really just pulls the emotions out of you. I think people talk about that well. But then also while filming this, I definitely gained an appreciation for just all the nuanced opinions and just how diverse this group of people are. Like, I really kind of thought I knew what tree planters were and I put them in this category. And as I got to know people, they would just continuously defeat my expectations of these people. So, I've been just learning the whole way, I would say.
Yeah, that's really cool, because there was a lot of people in that film that are from different, like, they're different ages and they're from different, like, backgrounds. And, like, there's the one lady who's, like, who was pregnant at one point and, like, planting trees. Like, that's super cool.
That's incredible.
And also just people who are quite young too. I think there's someone who said they started when they were like 20. Is that quite common for people to start like at like 18 to 20 kind of range?
Absolutely. I did my first year when I was 19, and the way that the main tree planting season works is that it goes from around the beginning of May till the end of July. So okay. For university and college students in Canada, it really just lines up so perfectly with semesters. So it's a very common thing for students to go tree planting 3 months of the year and then pay for their rent and their tuition with that money. We definitely talked to quite a few people who solely put themselves through school by planting trees. And so I'd say the largest majority group would be students. It's a lot of young people out there.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this is like a good job for someone who is looking to kind of do intensive work during the summer so that they can fully pay for school and just fully focus on that while they're in their semesters of school.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people think of it as a means to do something else. So you need a lot of just people pursuing opening their own business or school or the arts and stuff. And they use tree planting to make a ton of cash in the summer. And then, you know, it's a seasonal job, so you're unemployed immediately. So you just got a big bank account and then you're unemployed. So it's a great way to go travel or to do more constructive things, or not, I mean, not that travel's not constructive, but to work on your passions, all these things.
Right.
Definitely the case for me with film too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I guess that's a similar thing, is there's a lot of people who do long hours in like the film industry creating stuff, and then they have like a period of time where they're not working. So it's kind of like you spent all that time, you put in your hours, and then you have the bank account to like go in, do whatever you want really for a short period of time.
Exactly. And I think, you know, you've been a bit empowered. You've overcome this obstacle that probably in May it seemed impossible to do 3 months of this.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people come home feeling a lot more capable and a lot more confident, having been through such a harrowing experience.
Yeah, totally. Some of the stories were like, oh wow, like I've never even been camping, which okay. It's just because I'm like from the UK and it's not really as common there. Like it's such a Canadian thing, and I've just never really gotten the chance to go. But even camping for fun, like kind of scares me, like encountering a bear, you know? And then like some of the people have encountered like a bear and they're like cubs, and I'm like, whoa, like that's intense. I have a lot of respect for like anyone who does that, because it's like it's so like physically demanding. And then also people talking about just like how it affects your mental health for the better or sometimes for the worse, you know, that's like a lot to take on. And I feel like especially during like say quarantine, all of a sudden everybody in the world is forced to like spend time with their own thoughts. And a lot of people struggled with that. So it was kind of like a forced thing. But I think if you've survived it and you're still here, like one thing you should learn is like, it's okay to be alone with your thoughts and to like process them. And for a job like that, it sounds like it's not only just like about money, you can also have like a spiritual experience through doing it. I don't know if you agree with that, but.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. My experience, like when I was, yeah, I think we're just so go to go, go, go. And, even what we consider, taking time off or relaxing doesn't quite compare to, you know, just like a vast empty landscape where you're the only human being, you know, within like a 20 minute distance. It's a whole different level of aloneness. And I think, especially when I was planting, I was like, just wanting to get off of the social media and check out and, maybe check in with myself a little bit more. And so that was a period of time where for me, like I didn't have Facebook or Instagram. I didn't even have I didn't have a phone number that anyone could reach me at. It was just like an email, and I was out in the bush, and that was it. And you find a lot of people like that, I think, disconnecting and who do it partly for that disconnection. I think it's hard to find that much to be that disconnected in our world.
Oh, totally. Like in those areas, do you even have like a signal to like a mobile signal, or is it like off the grid?
I'd say rarely a signal. I think it's getting more common nowadays, but typically yet you have a satellite phone in case of emergencies, and that's your only lifeline really, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So at what age did you start tree planting? Like when did you first do it?
So I did it, I was 19 and I had just finished film school here in Vancouver. Uh-huh. So I had some student debt and I heard I could pay it off really quickly. And yeah, I went to Alberta and did my first season.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good for you for taking the initiative of doing that.
Yeah, it's funny. Now it's become so related to my film, but at the time it almost felt like I was like straying from my path by doing this tree planting thing. But now it's not all interconnected. But yeah, at the time I didn't know if I was making a good choice or a constructive choice, or if I was avoiding all my responsibilities and you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, how did you find out about tree planting? Like, what made you be like, oh, I'm going to go do this?
I met, it's a weird random story, but I met this like group of of kind of like hippie types hanging out on Commercial Drive, busking, and I started talking to them, and they told me about tree planting, and it was at a time where I was in need of cash, and I wouldn't say, I didn't want to be like those people. I wanted to like the opposite. I wanted to just go in, plant the trees, and then leave with my money and never be a part of the culture or the really dig into the experience. But as I went, I think I discovered a lot more, and I really like fell in love with the people, and it became a big part of my life.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So you're the person who interviews the people in the documentary, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. And I've like read that you have interviewed like a lot of people in your lifetime so far.
Yeah.
Do you find that you really enjoy interviewing people? Because it seems like you were able to like create an environment for them to like tell you quite personal things about their lifestyle.
That's true. I love interviewing people. I think it's such an art. Like there's so many levels to it, and I'm like endlessly obsessed with like just perspective and the way that different people can connect on different things. In this case, being a tree planter, talking to tree planters, it made it a lot easier than in my past experiences, because people were so ready to open up and talk about this. Like it's a lot of them, it's their passion and their livelihood. And there are very few films or documentaries on the topic, so people were so open. But yeah, like you said, I have done a lot of interviewing people. I did a project in 2018 where we interviewed like over just 400 strangers in Vancouver. It was kind of like a Humans of New York type of thing, where we just like checked in with people and we're like, what's up? What are you thinking about today? What are you passionate about? And just tried to like see what was going on in Vancouver kind of thing. And that was like a clinic of interviewing, because people on the street don't care about being polite to you. They don't want to necessarily help you get a good interview.
Right.
Some people want to share. I think, you know, people do want to share and talk on camera, even though it's a scary thing. I think most people can relate to feeling like unheard in their life.
Yeah.
Right. Especially living in a city. Yeah.
Vancouver's kind of like notorious for people being very like cliquey and not really going out of their comfort zone and talking to new people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was curious about your experiences like interviewing people, and how long you've been doing this, and do you think of interviewing in the same way? Do you think of yourself as an interviewer, or is this more of a conversation to you?
I guess like I just am really curious. I feel like I'm kind of nosy.
Yeah.
Like it's like I don't know if you don't, it's like I'm asking you questions about like when you started and stuff. Like I just genuinely like to like know random details, even if it's like a strange story. I'm like, oh, I don't know, like I just want to hear it. So it works well for like interviewing people, but I don't know if you find that sometimes you're like unsure of what is kind of like crossing a boundary, like if a question is maybe too personal for someone. Do you find that happens?
Yeah, absolutely. I can talk about like one specific thing with this documentary, which was tough to navigate as an interviewer and as a director. But what came up naturally from our interviews were a couple people sharing experiences, women sharing experiences of either sexual abuse or just misconduct in the tree planting world, basically.
Right.
And the way that the systems and the way that kind of like all the people in charge in the industry are men, typically. You know, it's the vast majority are men, but the workers, it's almost 50-50. And so we had some young women sharing their experiences. And then at the same time, CBC came out with an article, kind of a scathing article, revealing some of the data taken from surveys in the industry. Mm-hmm. Just reaffirming these women's testimonies about their personal experiences. Right. And so this became very clear that this is something that we're going to have to talk about. And it's something that we wanted to have informed experts from the industry talking about, as well as people having their personal experiences. But as a crew, we were three guys. Mm-hmm. And we are going into these women's homes with cameras with the agenda of wanting to talk about some extremely sensitive topics. And so that was such a heavy thing for me to navigate. And I think, you know, I can still probably learn a lot, but what I resolved to do was just to prepare them off camera to let them know exactly my intentions and to ask their permission to ask those questions, basically.
Right.
Because yeah, catching people off guard in an interview can be like a great thing, but at the same time, you don't want to do that to some people. You don't know their experiences. You don't know where they're coming from in that day and stuff. And so there were definitely some emotional moments. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you did a really good job of, again, like creating a space that makes it comfortable for them to mention it, because even though obviously like you can kind of tell by body language that there was one woman in particular that you could tell it made her uncomfortable to talk about it, obviously, but she still seemed like pretty comfortable in saying it to you and your team. And I just, that was probably the most interesting part of the documentary to me, because I was like, oh, I didn't really think of that side of the lifestyle. And it's just in most industries there, it's like dominated by men. And then you typically are in an environment where it's like, you just feel like nobody's going to do much because it's like the people in charge are men, and you just kind of feel like, well, they understand and whatnot. So to see that it still carries through to something like tree planting, I was like, oh, and it made me feel like really sad. And it's just kind of like, you know, at first I was like, oh, could I do tree planting? And then it's like, you start thinking about that side of things, and it's like, oh, would it be safe? Or, you know, if I were to tell a friend like, oh, you might like this, but then it's like, would she be safe? Like, that kind of concerns me a little bit. Yeah, it was very interesting that you guys like touched on that. I honestly wasn't sure like where the documentary would go, if it was more just like informative of like how it works, but it actually went to a more personal side, which is what I really liked. And I think the way you edited it was really great, because it was like, it kind of went from informative to like personal and then back to informative, and then like showing just like the beautiful like scenery of everything, and you know, and it just kept going to different elements, and you just did it really well.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. I wanted to speak to that too, just that I will say that tree planting as an industry is one of a place that I think in my life I've rarely seen men and women treated so equally in a labor industry so much as tree planting. Like, and like never in my life have I, or I think a lot of men have this experience for the first time tree planting, where they show up and it's the first time in their life that like women are kicking their ass at something that's pure physical strength. You're talking about just a physical labor, and there are like, you know, I don't see the same, you know, comparisons of NBA and WNBA or something like that in tree planting. It really feels like everyone's on the same level, and I think there are some like incredibly strong, awesome women who like have like created a culture for themselves, and I think it's really unique and awesome. But at the same time, it's an isolated place where usually the people in charge are men, and so it seemed irresponsible to do this deep dive on tree planting and not also talk about what might happen. And I also wanted to say that I think that it's not something that's I don't know that it's necessarily representative of tree planting, but just of a problem within our culture as a whole that has gotten into this places and universities and tree planting camps and you know, your summer job at the restaurant or whatever, where anywhere, I think. And so that's why we need to discuss it and have these conversations.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's the thing. It definitely can happen anywhere. I've seen it happen many times, sadly. And it's really a people problem. It's not like a job problem, you know?
That's how I see it.
Yeah. So I think, but again, it's like, until you talk about it, people don't really know what's going on. You know, they might think like, oh, tree planting, like that seems so cute and so involved in the environment and everyone must be so like happy and together. It's like, well, things still can go wrong just like any other job, right?
Absolutely. I think we'd be lying to everybody if we didn't say that there's a dark side to this as well. You know, you can't sell the drugs and party lifestyle without reflecting for a minute on what else that might mean, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And in terms of like it being a commercial thing, the one guy, he said like he'd rather be the one planting the trees than the one tearing it down, and I thought that was like a really good point too, because it is a positive thing that you are at least replenishing what is being taken down. So yeah, it was just like very educational. I feel like I learned a lot from watching that documentary.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. Like, it really kept my attention, and that's kind of hard to do with me.
I really
shouldn't do that, but yeah.
We had in mind about the internet and people's attention spans, and I think it is kind of ADD as a, you know, you're constantly going topic to topic, so.
Yeah, no, yeah. Totally. But it's like, yeah, it changes, like, at such a good pace that you kind of, like, realize that, I don't know, it's like, oh, you think like, okay, yeah, and then it like changes something completely new and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, and it just like kept going like that, so it just kept my attention the whole time. I sound like a child who like can't pay attention for longer than 5 minutes.
I feel like we all are.
But hey, if you can keep some like a kid's attention for that long, like you've kind of accomplished your job, so there's that.
Yeah, that's great feedback. I really appreciate hearing that, and it's awesome that being not having tree planting experience yourself, that you were still entertained.
Cool. Yeah, totally. Especially something that's happening in like inner province, it's like just good to be aware of what's happening, you know.
yeah I think in Canada it's, we all know a tree planter, a friend of a friend or something, or Claire, for instance. You know, you don't think that a model on a photo shoot in her spare time is like duct taping up her hands and going out into the bush and
and doing that, yeah. Which to me just makes her like extra cool, because she was already like cool to me, but like that's a cool chick, you know?
For real. Claire's, yeah, it's, I think it's so impressive, and like I've said this to her a million times, is like I couldn't think of a more perfect person for us to have as our she's like our featured planter and the narrator. And so she had planted like 3 or 4 seasons and then once on the coast in Vancouver Island. So she's done planting at like the top level. You know, nobody can say otherwise. And yet she's still able to show up and act if we need her to, or, you know, the next day she could be walking down a runway and you wouldn't know the difference. And
no.
There's a cool common theme where somebody said like, tree planters aren't just one thing. And that's something I found so true. Some of the people we interviewed, this one woman, Nico, was like studying to take her bar test to become a lawyer. She had planted a million trees. You know, there's plenty of people here in Vancouver who work in the film industry that are tree planters. You know, it's like,
It's like you never know. Yeah, no, that's so cool. I love that. Yeah. I love when people surprise you. Totally. And okay, so I have a couple quick questions before I finish this interview with you. Basically, just what What was like the main inspiration behind you creating the movie?
I guess the inspiration came from, in my first year planting, I had a foreman and his name was Faraz. Mm-hmm. And he was just, to me, kind of the epitome of planting culture, just this reckless vagabond, extremely hardworking, extremely passionate, so much so that I, in my personal experiences with him, found him really hard to deal with, but just lived life with such a like passion. And actually after my first season planting, he passed away suddenly in an accident on an interstate in the States. And he left a big impression on a lot of the people he knew. And for so many reasons, like, but one thing is, I remember him saying that he was 29 when I planted with him, and he passed just a couple months after I planted with him. And myself and countless other people can confirm, I remember him saying that he thought he would die before he turned 30. And there's just so many like heavy and like just all these things about Faraz that kind of left me thinking a lot about him and meditating a lot about him afterwards. And in his obituary, the final line was that Faraz had just planted his millionth tree. And so I just thought about that for a while, and I thought about the life he lived and that time that he spent. And so for me, this film was kind of like a meditation on what Faraz did with his time while he was here.
Right.
And, yeah, that's really where the inspiration came from.
That is so beautiful. Wow.
Yeah, we haven't shared that. I don't know if we've even talked about that as a team.
Really?
But that's where the title comes from and the original thing. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to ask you that, but that answers that.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful, and like, wow, what a blessing, like as an honor to him too. Because I feel like sometimes people don't really realize the impression that they make on another person. They're just doing their thing.
Yeah, and I can honestly say that Faraz wouldn't really even consider me a friend. You know, like when I knew him, I would, to be honest, I didn't really like him. He was such a strong and aggressive personality that I found him really hard to deal with.
Right.
But like the things he said just really stuck with me, and he left such an impression. And I think probably some people would find it funny, knowing who, people who know me and people who know him would find it funny that this meant so much to me, that I'm still thinking about it now, and that the film has so much to do with Faraz. But yeah, I think that just speaks to like his passion and the kind of impression that you can make on someone. And yeah.
Yeah, totally. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that answers two questions in one.
Yeah, it's quick.
Yeah, and so my last question was, what do you want your audience to learn from watching this documentary?
I want people who have never planted before to see this as something that is representative of the experience, to see this as kind of living that life out for 44 minutes. And then I want people who have planted before to see this as something that was truly made by the community. It's a film made by tree planters and for tree planters as well. So that's kind of my goals.
Well, I think you accomplished that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And so lastly, where can people go to like find this documentary when it is released, and also your personal like work that you've created?
For sure. So they'll go to CBC Gem, which is like gem.cbc.ca. Okay. And you'll be able to stream 1 Million Trees anytime after November 6th. Mm-hmm. And then it will also play on CBC Television November 7th at 8 p.m. in BC and Alberta. And then you can get me on Instagram, and it's at whateverit.takes.
Cool.
There, yeah.
Cool. I'll put this in the description so that people can like see it and easily click it. But yeah.
Cool. Sounds good.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today and talking about your film. I appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Thanks for having me. This is really fun.
Yeah, it was great talking to you.
You too.
If you have any comments, questions, concerns, or requests for future episodes, please email imanadultnowwhat@gmail.com. I read every email and would love to hear from you. Please subscribe to receive future updates on episodes, and if you feel like it, please rate this podcast on your streaming platform of choice.